Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Monday. It's a feast of St. Dominic. Pray for us. Hope we're having a beautiful Monday morning so far. We'll give you a complete weather forecast as well. So here's some extreme heat in parts of the country. First, let me give you the rundown, as we say in the biz of the show, what's coming up this morning on a Monday. We are going to be chatting with Dr. Meg Meeker. She hasn't been with us for a while, but she has some very exciting news. There's a beautiful new film that is out now and available on a number of different platforms, viewing platforms, based on her book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. We will get the scoop as to how this happened and where you may view it coming up at 9:15. Then I just want to talk to Meg about her expertise, especially what we're seeing. You know, she got started in the whole speaking thing many, many years ago when she was living and working down south, I believe in Georgia, and I have a Georgia-related story coming up in just a few minutes. But she was noticing that so many young people were coming to her in her practice as a pediatrician, and they were struggling with sexually transmitted infections. And so her eyes were opened as to the kind of epidemic we are facing because of our failure to follow the natural order and God's law, and of course, as we know in the church, in terms of the gift of sexuality. And so she wrote her first book based on what she saw as a pediatrician, and then she continued to speak out on these issues. So she's very, very up to date on what's going on, obviously, because she still has a practice as a doctor. And there's these stories that are being released about the monkeypox infection in the STI and also the problems with other STIs. We're still at epidemic proportions. Now they're saying this is a major health crisis. But when you look at the reporting, that it's not just the media, obviously the media are reiterating what the CDC and other quote-unquote health experts, government or health experts are saying, but there's never anything about abstinence. It's always a push for more birth control. And there was this very gross, and I'm not going to give you details of it. You can look it up for yourself because this is Catholic Family Radio. But a very gross statement that was issued by the CDC regarding those who are affected by monkeypox. Nothing about abstinence, quite the opposite. How about chastity? How about self-control? How about thinking in terms of this is not good for me and maybe going a little bit further as to why? And yet, do you think the health, quote-unquote, experts have ever suggest this? No. All they do is push sex, 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 do whatever you want with whomever, and the result is a nightmare. So I want to talk to Meg about that as well. But on a brighter note, her beautiful book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and we'll revisit that book and why she wrote it, and then also how the movie came about on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. And then we're going to wrap up with our friend Gail Buckley-Barringer, our Bible lady, with our scripture verse of the week. Gail is the founder of Catholic Scripture Study International, which I highly recommend. And this week's verse is from John chapter 6, verse 53, of course, on the Eucharist. Truly, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. So that's our program for today. And before we go to the weather and the news, a big thank you to Terry and the team at Holy Trinity Parish in beautiful Peachtree City, Georgia. What a pretty area of the country. And they had a wonderful women's breakfast. And I gave two talks, my reversion story from secular anchor to media evangelist, and my 10 Things talk, which I'm now turning into a book from Sophia Press. So excited about it. It's called Everything's Coming Up Rosie, 10 Things My Mom Taught Me About Living a Godly Life. And it was such a beautiful event, the way the hall was decorated, and we were appropriately in the St. Faustina Hall, which was beautiful to remind us of the intercession of the saints. We had beautiful praise and worship music, and they put on a lovely breakfast. And, you know, doing these kinds of events, it's not an easy task. It takes a lot of coordination and effort and a lot of volunteers to pull this together. So big thank you to all the beautiful people at that wonderful parish, Holy Trinity, and of course to Terry Thomas, who was the head of that, and also to our friends at Quest Radio. The Quest, they were there, they had a table, so that was fun to see the ladies from the Quest. Of course, they carry our EWTN programming down in the Atlanta area, and it was just really great to see an affiliate of ours. So support your local Catholic affiliate and EWTN, because we need them both. We work together to bring you great 24/7 Catholic programming. Wish we could do something about the weather, but unfortunately, that's God's department. So we just pray that folks will be okay, because right now we still have dangerous heat impacting parts of the Northwest and Northeast and mid to lower Mississippi Valley. Heat advisories are in effect for major areas, including Boston, New York City, Philadelphia, Seattle, and St. Louis. And there's still a concern for some flash flood concerns today in several areas, including northern New England and the western Ohio Valley into the mid-Mississippi Valley. And Colorado got hit with some heavy floods, too. We'll have that in our newscast. St. Dominic, pray for us. I was talking about the feast day of St. Dominic today. Of course, the founder of the Dominicans, the Order of Preachers, a Spanish saint who was actually buried, though, in the beautiful church, the Basilica in Bologna. And you can see his tomb there and pray before the tomb. And there's also something very special that the Italians do on the Amalfi Coast in the month of August, leading up to the Feast of St. Dominic, where the little town of Priano has this special event where they light candles and they do it in honor of the dream that his mother had of a dog carrying a torch that was lit. And the dog was running around, and this image of this very strong dog going all over, the sign that St. Dominic was going to be a preacher and teacher of the light of truth. So it was a beautiful event that takes place in early August in the beautiful coastal town of Priano. And I have a story on it, by the way, on Facebook and also on my Tease Italy website. All right, already 6 minutes past the hour, and there's a lot of news, as you can imagine, never a dull moment. Let's get right to it and see what's happening in and around the world before we take a quick break and bring on our first guest, Dr. Meg Meeker. Indiana, now the first state in the U.S. to have lawmakers approving an abortion ban after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in late June, the ban taking effect on September 15th. And under that new law, which is approved on Friday, abortion can only be performed at hospitals or outpatient centers in cases of rape or incest within 10 weeks. In Georgia, an unborn baby is now recognized as a dependent who will qualify expectant parents for a $3,000 tax deduction in Georgia tax rules under the same law which bans abortions based on a detectable fetal heartbeat. The Department of Revenue issuing new guidance saying that any unborn child with a detectable human heartbeat is eligible for the individual income tax dependent exemption. A woman six weeks pregnant as of last month may list her child on her tax returns next year with the relevant medical records or other supporting documentation. Catholic News Agency has more on this story. 12 Polish pilgrims bound for Medjugorje killed over the weekend on Saturday when their bus crashed into a ditch. Another 31 people were hurt, some of whom were hurt critically. A Polish foreign ministry spokesman telling Polish TV all the victims were adult Polish citizens. The accident happening at around 5:40 a.m. local time when the vehicle veered off a main road. The pilgrims included three priests and six nuns. The news agency, the BBC, reporting that the trip to Medjugorje, of course, the site of alleged apparitions of the Blessed Virgin in Bosnia and Herzegovina, organized by the Brotherhood of St. Joseph Catholic Group. Vatican News reporting Poland's justice minister and prosecutor ordered the Warsaw prosecutor's office to investigate the cause of the crash. And the Pope also mentioned those victims in his Angelus over the weekend. Speaking of the Angelus message, a Pope telling pilgrims to hold fast to trust in God and to also stay alert to the Lord's presence in our lives. As Thaddeus Jones with Vatican News tells us, the Pope spoke about letting go of worry and anxiety as well.
Greeting pilgrims on a hot and humid August Sunday, Pope Francis spoke about the gospel reading in today's liturgy that recalls when Jesus reassured his disciples to not be afraid, but also to be ready at all times. Jesus had finished speaking about the loving and provident care of God, the Pope explained, and encouraged his disciples, therefore, to have no worries as our lives are firmly in God's hands. This reassurance of Jesus is heartening for us, he continued, as at times we can feel closed in on ourselves with anxieties, worries, distrusts, fears of failure or not being loved. This can lead to focusing only on ourselves and a desire to accumulate goods and wealth that give us a false sense of security, he added. The Pope said, Jesus reassures us, do not be afraid. Trust in the Father who wants to give you all that you truly need. He's already given you his Son, his kingdom, and he will always accompany you with his providence, taking care of you every day.
Ma sapere che il Signore veglia con amore su di noi e non ci autorizza a dormire.
The Pope said that while we can be rest assured the Lord always watches over us, that does not entitle us to fall asleep or succumb to laziness. He added, saying, we must be alert and vigilant always.
In other news this morning, the area around Taiwan will see more military drills from China. Beijing had originally announced that live military exercises in response to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan would last through Sunday. In an online post, a spokesman for the Defense Ministry placing blame on the U.S. for the rise in tensions in Taiwan and saying the U.S. side must bear full responsibility for the serious consequences. Rory O'Neill tells us a new poll shows while Americans are divided on the issue of immigration, they also agree on the necessity of some restrictions.
27% of Americans say we should increase immigration, while 38% say it should be decreased. About a third telling Gallup they're in the middle. It should be kept at current levels. Support for expanding immigration reached an all-time high 2 years ago, but has slipped steadily. Along party lines, 69% of Republicans say immigration should be decreased. 17% of Democrats feel that way, too.
Israel confirming a ceasefire is now in place with Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip. This, after days of violence, left dozens of Palestinians dead and hundreds hurt. In confirming that ceasefire, Israel stressing it maintains a right to respond strongly should the agreement be violated. A suspect in that deadly car crash that killed six people near Los Angeles last week is now out of the hospital, but behind bars. That's according to a local TV station in Los Angeles. Last week, Nicole Linton hospitalized with moderate injuries on Thursday after a multi-car crash that left six people dead, including an infant and a pregnant woman. Senator Ted Cruz is promising his Republican Party will take back power in the November election. He spoke at the conservative convention, CPAC. It was held this year in his home state of Texas. Cruz saying the social policies being pushed by far left-wing groups will convince voters to abandon the current administration.
Because it's opening people's eyes, and it is accelerating people coming back.
Former President Donald Trump closing the conference over the weekend. A North Carolina school system placing AR-15s in each school building in the event of a future mass shooting, as Mark Mayfield tells us.
The Madison County Sheriff's Office and school officials decided to put the guns in six Madison County schools this upcoming school year in response to the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, that left 19 students and two teachers dead. The Asheville Citizen Times reports that the guns would be locked inside a safe with breaching tools and ammunition.
At least 53 people are hurt, seven dead due to gun violence in Chicago over the weekend. The first fatal shooting reported Saturday morning after a 29-year-old was shot multiple times on a Chicago Transit Authority train. The police superintendent there, David Brown, announcing additional security patrols following the bloodshed over the weekend, calling it unacceptable. Heavy rain causing major street flooding in Denver. The Denver Fire Department saying crews rescuing at least 19 people from stranded cars on Sunday night. Everyone is okay. Firefighters captured on video rescuing young children, including a baby, from a car stuck in floodwaters. And most of the Denver area and southern Colorado were under a flood watch until midnight. Trey Thomas tells us the largest wildfire in California so far this year is now 30% contained.
The McKinney Fire near the Oregon border has destroyed nearly 90 houses in the Klamath National Forest, and area residents have been ordered to evacuate. Over 2,400 fire personnel are battling the blaze, which has burned over 60,000 acres since July 29th. Officials also say a faulty power line may have sparked the deadly fire.
A man from Los Angeles, one of three people who died after getting hit by lightning near the White House. A Washington Post reporting that the local police in D.C. say 29-year-old Brooks Lambertson died on Friday after the lightning strike, which occurred on Thursday. He was huddled under a tree in Lafayette Square near the Andrew Jackson statue during a thunderstorm when lightning struck Thursday evening. He also happened to be with 76-year-old James Mueller and 75-year-old Donna Mueller, both of Janesville, Wisconsin. They died, and a fourth person was also critically hurt, whose current condition is not known. City National Bank in Los Angeles confirming Lambertson was a vice president with the company and was in Washington on business. Bob Howard tells us, as we close out our newscast on a Monday morning, 14 minutes past the hour, that the New York Police Department says over $2 million worth of jewelry taken during a smash-and-grab robbery over the weekend in the Bronx.
It happened at Rocco's Jewelry along Webster Street in the Fordham Heights section. Investigators say an employee buzzed one person into the store on Friday, and that person then held the door for three others. The entire incident reportedly lasted 30 seconds. Anyone with information on the smash and grab is asked to contact Crime Stoppers.
It is a Monday morning. Do hope you're having a blessed Monday so far. St. Dominic, pray for us. His feast day today, the great preacher, the founder of Dominicans. He's buried in Bologna, Italy, even though he is a Spanish saint. Up next, Dr. Meg Meeker joins us, and what a wonderful thing. Her book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, now the basis for a brand new movie, and it's available on several different viewing platforms. We'll tell you all about it up next.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
A man can argue with friends and colleagues whether God exists. But when he looks at his daughters,
you,
Zoe and Abby, the best three things of my life, he just knows.
Buenas noches!
I got a surprise for you.
This is why we sent you to business school.
I'm getting married.
What?
In 3 weeks.
What?
You don't even know this kid.
This is for you.
Think of it as gaining a son.
I watched the trailer for the movie based on Meg's book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. I was crying just by watching the trailer alone, and so excited for Meg and so excited for this very important message, Strong Fathers and Strong Daughters, to get out there. It's just so exciting. And Meg, congratulations, first of all. How did this happen? I didn't know that the book was being turned into a movie. God's really working here. Good morning.
Good morning. He really is. And I want to say, first of all, this is his hand. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just this tiny little piece of sand that he decided to use to encourage dads. 7 years ago, PureFlix bought the rights to the movie, and I don't own the book and I don't own the movie, so they contracted with my publisher.
Right.
And I knew about it, and I thought, okay, yeah. Well, you know, life kept going on. I started writing something new for dads called the Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters Masterclass online. And right after that, PureFlix called and said, oh, we're releasing the movie August 1st. I was very nervous. I have to tell you, when you have something with your name on the front,
right,
and you get very nervous about what they did. And I watched the movie and I cried. Not because the movie is so moving and it's so good. I was thrilled.
So you didn't know. I mean, you knew that they bought the rights, because a lot of people don't understand when you publish a book, the publisher owns the rights to it. And you have to, as the author, purchase the book. You get a discount when you buy the books. But it's their property. Now, there's all kinds of advantages to that, because then they publicize it. And so they take the bulk of their responsibility to distribute the book, which helps when you're, you know, an individual working, you know, as a writer. But then again, when something like this happens, you don't have control over it. So it can be a little scary. But I mean, the fact that it's being put out there by PureFlix must have been such a comfort to you, because it's a good company.
It's a very good company, and I trusted them. Several years ago, I met with the head of the company, who was just delightful, and I had a lot of confidence in him, and I had a real good feeling about him, a good sense of, you know, you use your intuition. And I thought, this is good, but I thought, how are they going to make a movie out of a book where I have so many different things going on, so many different characters? But they found a good screenwriter who wrote a wonderful story about a dad with three daughters who confronts some really difficult challenges with his daughters, and through God's grace, learns how to navigate some of them. And it's just a heartwarming movie. And again, you're right, I was allowed to read the screenplay. But, you know, I could make some suggestions, but at the end of the day, you know, what the publisher does with your book and what a screenwriter company does with a movie is theirs, not yours. So it's a little frightening.
But the timing of this, God's timing is always so perfect. Were you just like blown away when you realized that it was coming out with these at the same time of the master classes based on the book?
Well, I have to tell you, back in February, I was writing a whole new series on how to raise a toddler and toddler issues. And I'm not kidding. About a month into it, 6 weeks into it, I felt, no, I got to write something to encourage dads. Father's Day is coming up. Write something that will really help dads get how to connect with their daughters. Say, 1, 2, 3, this is what they do. 1, 2, 3, and it was all on my book. I went through every chapter of my book and created these videos online. Well, right towards the end of that, PureFlix called and said, oh, we're going to release the movie in August, on that August 1st. I will tell you, I got the chills. There's only 3 or 4 times in my life where I felt God go, boom. And this was what they had the contract for 7 years.
So why now?
Why
right?
August 1st?
Right, right.
I was writing a course on toddlers. Why did the Holy Spirit change my mind and say, no, I do this now? Clearly, God, at this point in our history, in 2022, is saying to our country, I believe, it's really time we encourage dads. We stop belittling them. We stop putting them down. We stop, you know, marginalizing them, and say, we as a country, we as wives, we as ex-wives, whatever, are here to help you with our kids and to lift you up. And that's God's heart. You know, at the end of Malachi, he said, turn the hearts toward the fathers will turn their hearts toward the children, and the children turn their hearts towards the dad. And that was at the very end of the Old Testament. And then, you know, theologians believe God was silent for 300 years before the New Testament came. So God takes the relationship of a father and a child very seriously.
And also, the research shows that even if a mom is faithful, which is obviously extremely important as well, it's what the father is doing in terms of his faith that has an even bigger influence on the children.
Absolutely, because kids expect their moms to take them to church. Kids expect their moms to do certain things, and because that's what moms do. Now, I'm talking from a child's perspective, from what should be. But when a father steps up and said, no, I'm going to take you, it increases in a level of importance in the child's mind. So the child really stands up and pays attention. I experienced that with my parents. Whenever my mother did something or said something that was moving me in the right direction, like going to Mass, I get, oh, yeah, okay, Mom. But when my dad said, we're all going, man, it was important.
Yeah. Well, you and I are both daddy's girls. We've talked about that. Yeah. So, and I think this is really important. Also, in addition to lifting up fathers and men, the whole gender ideology thing has just, it's just gone crazy, Megan. People are losing just the fact of who we are, made in God's image and likeness, male and female.
Yeah. That's because we've taken God out of their lives.
Everything.
When you,
right.
When you fail to teach a child that God exists and God made them for a purpose, and you fail to establish a really strong connection with your kids by spending enough time with them, you've sort of gutted their life. All they're left with is flailing around and trying to figure out who they are, and they do this and they do that, and it's exactly what's happening to our kids. They're lost on the inside. They're grabbing at anything, and because the parents don't know what to do, they help them grab. Transitioning a child to the other gender is medical malpractice, in my view, and it's child abuse, in my view.
Yeah. Meg, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to make sure we give people the information where they can not only buy the book, but get your masterclass and also see this beautiful new film based on the Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters book, and then we'll talk more about the issues we're facing and why this movie is so important right now. We'll be right back. Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tease Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith, this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a seven-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now, the trip is filling up, 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The Eighth Commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. At one level, the reputation a person has is one of their most precious gifts. And to intentionally harm the good reputation of someone is a very grave matter. We can do this often through detraction by disclosing others' faults without a valid reason, or calumny, just outright lying about other people. Likewise, through rash judgment. This commandment also protects the truth, which is another very, very great good. To lie is to speak something that we know is false with the intention of deceiving others. We ought to be dedicated to the truth. It is the truth that sets people free, while errors and lies entrap people in many difficult and often sinful situations. The Lord asks us to give witness to the truth of the gospel. This commandment, therefore, asks us to stay dedicated to the truth and to other people's reputation. The Eighth Commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It is a Monday morning. Mondays with Meg Meeker. Try to get around as often as possible. As you can hear, she's an extremely busy lady. She's an MD. She's a Catholic sister in the Lord, author, speaker, and one of her beautiful books, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, is now the basis of a PureFlix film recently released. Okay, so where do we find the movie? Because this could be so encouraging. This would be great for a women's group, a men's group. This would be awesome for a men's group, especially. How do we find the movie, Meg?
You know, I would go to PureFlix.com, and you can watch the trailer. Now, PureFlix, it is a subscription. It's like Netflix. I think it's $8
right.
a month or something. But you can, you know, sign up for the first couple of weeks free. But go to PureFlix.com. But it's interesting you say that about study groups, because I have recently, my team has had some men reach out and say, we want to study this in our, you know, as a small group. So I have the book. I actually wrote a devotional 7 years ago, and I have the master class now, which is videos, short videos of me saying, do this, do this, do this. And then the movie to top it all off. So there's a lot here that encourages fathers and says, here's what you can do. It's not that hard. just start going. So really, I go to my website, MikaParenting.com, and we'll spell all those things out for you. But we are creating a class that men can do and just get together and talk it through. And it's not, it doesn't take, you know, 12 weeks and 2 hours a night, you know, every, it's very easy, very short.
Right.
And, yeah, it can give a lot to dads. So either my website or just go to pureflix.com.
Okay. And it just came out on August 1st, right?
Correct. Correct.
Oh, well, this is so exciting. Well, congratulations and God bless you for being an open vessel and allowing God to use you in so many ways with your incredible background and your gifts. Speaking of which, I was telling the story of how we first met. I was working at the local evangelical station, and I got a copy of your very first book, and I was so interested in your whole thought process in terms of what you were exposed to early in your career and what you saw young people experiencing with this rise of STIs and realizing that this was just out of control. And so you were so good at explaining how the culture impacts young people, and especially in the terms of sexuality. And Meg, I'm telling you right now, and you know this better than anybody, it's so crazy. And I was saying at the top of the hour, of course, this is a family show, so we can't get into the details. So you probably saw this as someone in the medical field. The Centers for Disease Control puts out this statement about monkeypox. And instead of putting out a statement regarding, how about chastity? How about abstinence? Yeah. How about self-control? It's
right.
Telling people how they can still engage, and I want to do this as cleanly as possible, in different forms of activity in order not to get the monkeypox. And yet they do the same thing over and over again. Every time they release their reports on the number of sexually transmitted infections, they never talk about abstinence or self-control or chastity.
No. And often you will see monkeypox talked about as though it's transmitted by sneezing on somebody or coughing on somebody. It's dishonest marketing. If you see it on television or an ad, it's really dishonest because often they don't come forward and say how you get it, okay? It was like HIV. Mm-hmm. They just want to sort of, because they don't want to make people feel shamed. They don't want to say that certain behaviors are not okay in our culture, that they're harmful. They want to keep them boosted up. They want to keep people knowing this is okay, this is normal activity. If I'm just careful, I'll stay away. It's exactly like with HIV. And it wasn't, that's what really, really got me upset when I started going. I thought, wait a minute, when I come in contact with a person in my office that I feel is infected, I have to wear a gown and gloves in this, and yet I'm to tell them it's okay to go outside and not be super careful or change their behavior in order not to get it, because the 100% way to avoid it is abstinence. But nobody will tell people that because they don't want them to feel ashamed. So they let them get sick instead.
Right. But with other diseases, with other illnesses, look at everything that they put out on COVID. It was 24/7, you know, all news, all COVID news all the time of crying out loud. We couldn't go outside our own door. I'm being a little bit, you know, sarcastic, but pretty much, I mean, look at the whole world shut down. And they told us all the details about how not to transmit it, what to do, the mask situation, the craziness, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine. And yet with this, they won't even talk about the details in terms of how to protect yourself. No, let's just do more activity that, okay, it's not exactly going to help transmit the disease, but, you know, it's still, you could do this and get away with it.
Well, and you think about that, when there was a lot of COVID instruction going on, there was a lot of shaming. They used shame as a way to motivate people.
Oh, great point.
As a way to motivate people to protect themselves. They refuse. They do just the opposite with monkeypox because they feel that it should be a social privilege. It should be accepted. It should be fine, but we just need to get control of the disease so that we can live life normally. There was never any of that sense with COVID. It was you behave, you fall in line, and if you don't, then we're going to come after you. And it's the exact opposite here. It's, again, because we feel that sexual activity that the type of sexual activity that a person wants to do and the amount of partners they have is an American right. I've heard people say that it's a right, and our job as medical people is to make sure they keep hold of that right and do the best we can to squash the diseases. But as I told a class, a Catholic girls' school class a number of years ago, who said that to me, a sophomore in high school, I said, let me tell you something. You can live that way, but here's the deal. Germs win.
Right, right. So reality sets in at some point, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And this has been, I mean, we look at everything else. It only said, and we've talked about this so many times with you as our expert, it's only with these below-the-belt issues where they say no limitations at all. Everything else, restrictions here, restrictions there, smoking, anything else having to do with health. But when it comes to sexuality, all bets are off.
That's because it is... It's sort of the doctrine of the American right that we can do this, we should be able to do this. Is almost a God-given right that adults want to hang on to, and therefore we don't teach our kids the right thing to do, and not just from a moral or ethical standpoint, but medically. We don't want to teach our kids the best way to stay safe because we want to hold on to an ethos that it really isn't okay. So that's where the hypocrisy comes. And that's where we really sacrifice the next generation of kids.
Right.
Because
right.
We're not willing to say, no, it isn't a right. And, yeah, I need to change my behavior. And I need to teach them a different way to live. We're that selfish as in our generation.
And we're all about teaching kids not to smoke. They want kids to exercise. They want them to eat right. But when it comes to sexuality, again, all bets are off. And it's so damaging. And you know what? God tells us this. There's a plan out there. Here's a plan. Here's how I created you. This doesn't work. If you do this, you're going to have a problem. And we
exactly.
keep suppressing all of this information and thinking that we know better. And yet the natural law, the natural order of things proves otherwise. Great discussion. God bless you and your ministry. So excited about your film. MeekerParenting.com. Great website for all the information. The new movie based on the book Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. More information there as well. Also at PureFlix, MeekerParenting.com. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Stay tuned.
So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Nothing illustrates the powerful bond between man and wife intended by God, the creator of marriage, than these words from Matthew's gospel. A true marriage is a sacramental bond and is therefore indissoluble. The Catholic Catechism, however, realistically acknowledges that the presence of evil can severely strain this bond. Marital union has always been threatened by discord, a spirit of domination, jealousy, infidelity, and conflicts that can escalate into hatred and separation. The original communion of Adam and Eve was ruptured by their sin of disobedience. Their relations were distorted by mutual recrimination, says the Catechism, and brought about the pain of childbirth and the toil of work. Without God's help, a man and woman cannot achieve the union of their lives for which God created them in the beginning. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's a busy Monday morning. Again, congratulations to Dr. Meg Meeker and the film that is out there now through PureFlix based on her book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. And I just think it's so important that we offer you these different resources and, of course, all the great resources that we have as well on EWTN Ave Maria Radio to really get the truth about who we are and how we were made and to give you continued strength that you are not alone in this battle. And there is a great deal of information and help that's available to you, and that we really have to be our own researchers and our own reporters. And when I first, again, discovered the work of Meg Meeker, I was very moved by it because she had that kind of aha moment about her own career, her own line of work in medicine and what was happening and the information the health experts weren't giving to people and the agendas that they were putting out there. And this was back in the early 2000s and, you know, the turn of the 21st century when she first started to get out there with her first book, Epidemic, How Teen Sex is Killing Our Kids. I think that's the title of her first book. But, and this is why, you know, we do what we do, why we try to get the information out there to show you the reality of the situation. I was talking about this on Saturday with the ladies at the Peachtree event that we did a breakfast for Holy Trinity Parish, a beautiful breakfast, women's breakfast. I was talking about the fact that we are made in a certain way, that God is a God of order. And Pope Benedict used to say that the Ten Commandments are not a big no to love and to life, but a big yes. In other words, if we follow God's will for our lives, if we follow the order of things as given to us in Scripture, in the Magisterium, in the traditions of the Catholic Church, all these things that we have, it's going to be the best way to live our lives. Are we still going to suffer? Absolutely. We live in a fallen world. This is not heaven. We are pilgrims on a journey, just like that Catholic hymn says. But if we continually embrace the teachings of the Church and the Scriptures, first started by a personal encounter with the Lord, putting Him first in everything, as my mother used to say, which is my number one on my Rosie's Hip Parade, offer it up to God and put it at the foot of the cross. This whole idea of surrendering to God. We see it as a limitation. But I've learned, as I shared with the ladies on Saturday, that it's actually this true freedom, because then you can be who you were meant to be. And that is the only way you're going to be happy. And I've learned the hard way. Even after my first surrender moment at the foot of the cross in my bedroom, it was still thinking, okay, I did this, now I'm done, right? Now I'm going to have this great life, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, no, it was a process, and it is a process. And there's a lot of talk right now, and Vanessa Denhagarmar and I discussed this morning on our In the News segment, which we do once a week in the first hour of Catholic Connection on Ave Maria Radio. There's a lot of discussion about this disparity, and of course, Michael New and I talked about this on Friday, because we see how the media are tanking in terms of profits, the secular media, in terms of ratings, in terms of even online subscriptions. Big, big story that came out, and I think I discussed this on Fact Check Friday as well, on Friday, from Gannett. Gannett is a huge media conglomerate, and they are losing money hand over fist. And so as a result, they're going to have, unfortunately, another slew of layoffs, which means that their news operations are going to be greatly affected, which means even less quality. Not that there's a great deal of quality in the news right now, as we know. Also, the fact that only 11% in terms of TV news, there's only 11% trust factor right there if you look at the surveys. But still, the media have a huge influence because, as Michael expressed on Friday, they still have a very, very big footprint out there. And many people are influenced by what the media tell us. And we often are manipulated without even realizing it. So again, it's so important to take to heart what Meg is saying and what she is doing and what now her book has developed into the Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. This whole idea of this father-daughter relationship and the importance of fathers who have been so undermined, and now there's so much confusion out there about sexuality. There shouldn't be, because it's pretty clear we know who we are, made in the image and likeness of God. If we, you know, as Meg said, and as I talked about earlier on this program, if we look at Scripture, you can't change who you are. You can't change your DNA. And yet many people are falling prey to these ideologies and agendas. And if you look at what the media are covering versus what people are concerned about, there's a huge disparity. So today in the Feast of St. Dominic, it's a very important feast day, great saint, Spanish saint, of course, the founder of the Order of Dominicans. He had such a fire in his heart for the Lord. And actually, there's an image of him a dream his mom had, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, of him being this image of a dog running around with a torch, a lit torch in his mouth, because he was going to set the world on fire for Jesus and the church. So what are we doing to set the world on fire for Jesus and the church? All of us have a platform. Every single one of us has a platform. How are we using it? I talked about this last week in Colorado Springs for the Legatus chapter. To whom much is given, much is expected, and more will be given, and more will be expected, as Jesus reminds us. And, of course, the Gospels the last couple of weeks have been talking about this. We're not to rest on our laurels. We're supposed to be ready. My pastor gave a beautiful homily yesterday, an analogy. He's big into technology, right? So he was talking about how exciting it is for him to like look at different structures and all the different technology they use. And he was talking in particular about Air Force One. And he was talking about how Air Force One is always at the ready to go and how many phones they have on Air Force One and the technology behind it. And then he also talked about firefighters and police officers. If you've ever been to a fire station, if you've ever been on tour of a fire station, maybe you've taken your kids or as a school group, the firemen and women are always ready, at the ready, whether they're taking their break, even if they're sleeping, taking their, you know, a lot of time for rest, or maybe if they're at their meals and having a dinner together, they are ready to go once that alarm goes off. Their boots are at the ready. And that's how we have to live our lives. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. And I believe that's not just talking about when we move on to be with the Lord, God willing, in the next life. I believe, are we ready to make a difference? Are we ready to respond to the needs that are out there? We are living in such a confused and topsy-turvy time right now. And sometimes we make it super, super complicated in terms of our faith, and it really isn't. And that's the wisdom of strong fathers. That's the wisdom of strong mothers. That's one of the reasons I decided, at the encouragement of my dear friend Kelly Walquist from WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, to finally put down these 10 things that Rosie Posey taught me about living a godly life. And they're pretty simple. They're pretty simple. Offer it up to God, put it at the foot of the cross, remember the Blessed Mother is watching you, keep smiling, be nice, and then some really funny, quirky ones, but you'll have to buy the book to hear the rest of the story. But anyway, the theme is that we look to the saints, and what a great saint today, Saint Dominic, who wasn't afraid despite the challenges, who gave us really the rosary, who wasn't afraid to be a dog for the Lord, to go out there and spread the word, run around with a torch in his mouth to light up the world for God. And that image that this little town on the coast of Italy, the Amalfi coast of Italy, gives us about the light of the world. And Jesus reminds us, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. As we start this week with the feast day of Saint Dominic, how are we setting the world on fire for Christ and his church? How are we the salt of the earth? How are we still being encouraged and yet always at the ready to make a difference for Christ and our faith? Scripture can certainly help. It is almost 48 minutes past the hour. I encourage you to stay tuned for the next segment and the final segment on a Monday morning, where Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International will be joining us. A beautiful verse all about the Eucharist from the chapter of John in the Eucharistic Discourse. That would be, of course, chapter 6. This in particular is John 6:53. Truly, truly, I tell you, our Lord said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life within you. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back with Gail Buckley Barringer from Catholic Scripture Study International. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
As Catholics, we are called to protect life at every stage, but our culture continues to impose threats against the sanctity of life, making the pro-life cause the preeminent social issue of our time. But there is hope. The Christ Medicus Foundation and CMF Duro have partnered with one of the country's leading health care ministries to provide Catholics with a pathway to pro-life, Christ-centered health care. Support the culture of life and learn more about CMF Duro at MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's a busy Monday morning, the feast of the great Saint Dominic. Pray for us. And this beautiful verse from the Eucharistic Discourse of Saint John's Gospel, chapter 6. And Gail, as a convert, how did you view these verses regarding the Eucharist? Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Or when you were still in your Protestant days.
Well, as a convert, as a Protestant, we just seemed to skip over that, didn't really go into it. And so when I became Catholic, I was like, wow. I mean, this is true. It's not symbolic. So it was really an awakening. And I accepted it because I accepted everything the church taught. I was so in love with the church and
right.
with the Lord. So.
Yeah. I do think, too, that some people, and we've heard, and you know this, being a convert yourself, that many converts will say, even if they didn't understand something fully, they would submit, and this is so important, submit to the surrender of God based on the authority of the church and the love that they discovered of the church, and realizing, you know, Jesus in the Eucharist is never going to betray us or lead us in a wrong direction. So it's say, okay, Lord, I don't totally get this, but I'm trusting. Did you find that to be true as well?
Absolutely. That's exactly the way I felt. You know, I felt that the truth, the church was founded by Jesus Christ. Jesus, whatever he said was true, and I accepted everything the church taught because I knew that Jesus was through them. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Catholic Church.
Yeah, amen. All right, let's look at this verse a little bit. This is John 6:53.
Right, and it says, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And, of course, Jesus was talking about the Eucharist, as we were talking about just now. And as Catholics, we're so blessed to know that Jesus is truly present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And I say that we're blessed, Teresa, but not all Catholics really know or believe this. In fact, the latest poll that I read from the Pew Research Center, their survey said that almost 70% of Catholics don't believe Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. They think it's symbolic. And they think that this the bread and the wine is just, you know, a symbol of his body and blood. And this really upsets me, Teresa, because as a convert, like you said, as a convert to the Catholic Church, I'm astonished at these statistics. I think we really need to do a much better job of educating Catholics. I would really love to hear the priests talk about it more in you know, their homilies or at Mass. And one thing that really brought this home to me is several years ago on Corpus Christi, I was leading a Bible study class, and I talked about this, and I told my class that Jesus, that we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, he's truly there, and the same Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago, and you know, I said, when the priest says the words of consecration over the bread and wine, that truly becomes Christ, the body, blood, soul, and divinity, etc. And, you know, and I said, I know I'm just preaching to the choir, to all of you, you all know this. Well, so then I had this woman come up to me afterwards and say, you know, a few days later, and she said that she was shocked. She'd been a Catholic all her life, gone to Catholic schools, gone to Mass regularly, and she never knew that. And she didn't believe me, and she went to her priest and asked him. He said, of course that's true. And she was astonished. And
wow.
I have a very close priest friend who was working as a chemical engineer before he became a priest. And one day one of his coworkers said to him, I can't believe an intelligent man like you actually believes that you're eating the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Communion. And he was shocked. He had no idea that that was true. And he went home and he researched and he found out that's what the church taught. And now he's a priest. In fact, he's a chancellor of our diocese now.
See, those challenges are very good, right?
Exactly.
When they challenge you, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I mean, I know Patrick Madrid became an apologist because he was challenged by someone in high school and then in college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, mm-hmm. It really helps. It really does. So, you know, as a former Protestant, as a Methodist, we only receive communion in my church anyway. I know it's different in different church, Methodist churches, but every 3 or 4 months. And, you know, and so it was symbolic in the Protestant church. And it's really sad that Protestants have come so far away from the truth of the Eucharist. Even sadder that Catholics don't know. And, you know, for 1,500 years, all Christians believed that they were receiving the true body and blood of Christ. In fact, I'm sure you know this, that early Christians were called cannibals because the pagans, you know, thought that we were eating Christ's body. And, of course, that's what we were doing. And I don't know how Bible-believing Christians can not believe it when they read these words of Jesus, like in our verse today. Jesus said, truly, truly, unless you eat the body and blood of the Son of Man, meaning himself, and drink his blood, you have no life in you.
Well, I think that we know that there's other things where he says, I am this, I am that, and so I think that's how they explain it. But at the same time, to give credit to Protestants, and you know this, they understand the Bible. They do, there are verses that they can't explain, but they do take the Bible so much more literally than we do, and in a lot of ways we need to catch up with them. I still think we can learn a lot from each other, but especially in terms of the Eucharist, to dive into this and to explain and to know why we teach what we teach and how scriptural everything the church does is scriptural. As John Martinoni, our mutual friend, says, there's nothing in the Catholic Church that contradicts Scripture, and there's nothing in Scripture that contradicts the Catholic Church. Gail, great discussion. Thanks so much for joining us. Good to have you back on, and we'll talk to you lovely folks tomorrow on a Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.